All right. Now, my assignment at this time is the essentiality and uniqueness of Christ's church. So the question is this: is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ essential to salvation? Isn't that the question? Am I right, Brother Dan? That's the question. Is it essential to salvation? Now, I can hear people responding to this question, and I can hear them saying different things. I can hear one person say, well, people can be saved anywhere. To which I would say, well, does the Bible say anywhere that one can be saved, just anywhere? I mean, after all, we've got to settle this question by what the good book says, correct? It's not based on my idea about it or the ideas of others here or any other human being. We have to decide on the basis of what the Word of God says. Well, then I can hear others say, well, I can be saved out of the church because, after all, the church does not save. It's Jesus who saves. Some will say it this way: I'll take the man, but I don't want the plan. And so I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. I want Jesus, but I don't want organized religion. I want Jesus. I want a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't want to have anything to do with a, quote, institution. Well, it's certainly true that Jesus saves. It's that's not the question. We grant the argument that the church does not save. But the question is, where does God save people? Are people saved in the church, or are they saved out of the church? I think some of the confusion, perhaps much of the confusion, is due to the fact that people don't understand what the word church means. The word church is from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means a called out assembly. It's not a special word to the New Testament. The Greeks used it to refer even to their political assemblies, which were called out to assemble, to conduct political business. It's derived from a couple of words, ek, out of, and kaleo, which means to call. So to call out of. So the church is a called out body of people. Here's perhaps the definition. The church is a called out body of people over which Christ reigns as head, in which the Holy Spirit dwells. That's what the church is. And so it's not that the church saves, but the question is, where are the saved? Are they in the church, this called out body of people over which Christ reigns as head and in which the Holy Spirit dwells? Or are they saved out of that body? Now, when I say the church, I want to make it very clear. Are you listening to me now? I know we got all kinds of aids today. We've got this behind me, and you have a booklet in front of you. And so you can look up here, and you can look at your booklet, and so forth and so on. But I want you to listen to me. Are you listening? I've taught school for 37 years or so, and I like to see eyeballs, all right? I was at one congregation doing a meeting then, and the singing Brother Friedley was so distracting during the invitation. I went to the elders and I said, can you cut off the PowerPoint during the invitation? They had the screen way over here, and I'm here trying to, you know, get people to render obedience to the gospel, and I couldn't get anybody to look at me, Dan. And and it was great when they cut it off. You have a really good arrangement here because the screen is right behind us, and so it doesn't distract me as much because I can't tell whether you're looking at me or looking at the screen. All right, now listen to me. I am not talking about a denomination when I talk about the church. All right? As we said yesterday, a denomination is a sect, S-E-C-T, a sect. That refers to a group of dissenters who have pulled off from some orthodox group holding to a particular creed and or practice. That's what a denomination is about. We're not talking about a denomination. So the question is not, is a denomination essential to salvation? The question is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ essential to salvation? That's the question. So we're not talking about a man-made organization. We're not talking about some man-made church like we talked about yesterday. We're asking this question. Make sure you understand it. Is that body of people called out of the world of darkness, like the Colossians in Colossians 1 and 13, is that body of people, does that body of people constitute the saved, or do they not constitute the saved? That's the question. Now, I want to give you five reasons I believe that the church is essential to salvation. Is everybody with me now? We know where we're going. We've got five reasons. Reason number one is this. If the church, or rather if one can be saved out of the church, then one can be saved out of the kingdom of God. Now, the word kingdom is used in different ways in the Bible. It's used to refer to an earthly kingdom, like in the Old Testament, where there was an earthly kingdom. It's used sometimes to refer to that future heavenly kingdom. For example, in 2 Peter 1 and 11, the Bible says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But other times, the word kingdom is used to refer to the spiritual kingdom, the church. You just heard it in the reading today. "Upon this rock I will build my church." And the very next verse it says, "I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom." So here, 6 months before the Lord's death, church and kingdom are used interchangeably. In Colossians 1 and 13, the Colossians are translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In Mark 9 and 1, Jesus said that there are some who stand here who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom come with power. In Luke 24 and 49, Jesus said to the apostles, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are empowered or endued with power from on high." In Acts 1 and 8, the Bible says that you will receive that power when you receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the apostles received the Holy Spirit. And thus, guess what happened? They received the power, and what else happened? The kingdom came. And then in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preaches his sermon, he offers the invitation. About 3,000 souls obey the gospel, verse 41. And then in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the what? Say it, the church. The Lord added to the church. In Acts chapter 5, with the punishment of Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says great fear came on the church. Colossians 1, you have the Colossians in the kingdom. So prior to Acts 2, you've got everything spoken of in the future. The kingdom is at hand. It's nearby. It's nigh. That kind of language. But after that, David, you've got it's here. So the church and the kingdom are the same thing, is what I'm trying to communicate. So if one can be saved out of the church, then we would have to maintain that one could be saved out of the kingdom. Well, if we're going to say that one can be saved out of the kingdom, then obviously, then that means that one could be saved without becoming a citizen of the kingdom. Furthermore, that would mean that one could be saved without submitting to Christ Himself. Now, if you think about it, there are but two kingdoms. The concept of mutual exclusiveness permeates the pages of Holy Writ. In 1 Kings 18 and 21, you remember Elijah said, "How long do you go limping between two opinions? If Jehovah's God, then serve Him. But if Baal is God, serve him." What did our Lord say in Matthew 6 and 24? "No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other." Or Matthew 12 and 30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he who gathers not with me scatters abroad." And so it's one way or the other. That's what I'm saying. And so you've got the kingdom of God, and you've got what else? The kingdom of the devil. That's it. That's your choices. And so if one maintains that they can be saved out of the kingdom of God, then you've only got one other kingdom, and that's the kingdom of the devil. And surely no one would claim, Dan, that they could be saved in the kingdom of the devil himself. Such would be ludicrous. Now, how do we get into this kingdom? Well, in John chapter 3, the Bible says that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. In verse 5, it says, "Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Folks, listen to me. Are you listening? If one can be saved out of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, then a person can be saved out of the kingdom. And of course, that's not the case. Number two, if one can be saved out of the church, one can be saved out of the family of God. And guess why? Because the church is the family of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said it this way, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar in the ground of the truth." So here's a verse that tells us that the church is the family. See, we just were studying that the church is the kingdom, but now the church is spoken of as God's family. In that great chapter that Brother Mark spoke from yesterday, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, those Ephesians who started out being dead in trespasses at the beginning of that chapter and who were saved by grace through faith in verses 8 and 9 and verse 19 are spoken of as members of the household of God. They were members of the household of God. What does that mean? They were members of a family. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, the Bible says, by faith Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving, watch it now, of his house. Now, he was not talking about his physical structure. You know, he didn't build an ark and then put his physical structure in it. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, for the saving of his family. Now, as I just said about the kingdom, there are but two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. There are but two families, as far as our kind of thinking this morning is concerned. There's God's family, and then you got that other family over there. What's that other family? Who does it belong to? That belongs to the devil. And so the question is this: can one be saved in that family? Of course not, namely the devil's family. If one can be saved out of the family of God, then the only family that's left is the family of the devil, and no one would contend today that one could be saved in that family. Now, just as we ask, how does one get into the kingdom? I wish to ask, how can one be saved in this family? Are you with me now? Everybody with me? I'm not feeling any love here. I'm just going to be frank about it. I'm not feeling it here. I need to feel it. Okay. Now, how do we get in this family? In Galatians 3:26 and 27, it says in verse 26. Watch it now. You are all the children of God by faith. So now we're talking about a family. We're talking about children of God. You're all the children of God. Well, how are you children of God? You're children of God by faith. Well, for what reason are you children of God? Well, verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The word for there means because of. Sometimes for does not mean because of. For example, in Acts 2:38, for remission of sins means in order to obtain remission of sins. It's an entirely different Greek word. But in Galatians 3:27, 27 gives the means or the reason, I should say, as to how people become children of God. So they are children of God. They're children of God by faith. And the response to that faith is being baptized into Jesus Christ, verse 27. So can one be saved out of the church? Not unless one can be saved out of God's family. And one can't be saved out of God's family. Number three, if one can be saved out of the church, one can be saved without the blood of Christ. Now think about this with me now. In Acts chapter 20, you get Paul at Miletus, and he writes to the Ephesian elders and bids them to come to Miletus, where he gives some instructions to them. In verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Watch it now. To feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. So we know that the church of our Lord has been purchased with blood. Now, if one says that they can be saved out of the church, then the contention would be, obviously, that they could be saved without the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Listen to Colossians 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In Hebrews 10:4, it's not the blood of bulls and goats that can take away sin. And then Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but with the, are you listening? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it's by the blood of Jesus that we're saved. I was in a Bible study one time down with a man, and he said, I was talking to him about the becoming a Christian and so forth. He said, I'll never be convinced that anybody can be saved by anything but the blood of Jesus. And I said, Well, at least we found one thing we can agree on. You can't be saved without the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. No person can be saved without the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, the question is, how do we attain the benefits of that blood? Well, the Bible says His blood was shed in His death, John chapter 19, verse 34. Is that right? And Mark alluded to this yesterday. I think you did, or if you didn't, Mark, I was thinking that you did. In Romans chapter 1, yeah, you did, I remember now. Romans 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer in the King James is a resounding, God forbid. New King James says, certainly not. The answer is, never let anything like that, come to pass. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, by no means. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this first, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not be the servants or the slaves of sin. So how do we reach the blood of our Lord Jesus? We reach it by contact with His death. How do we do that? Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Nobody can be saved without the blood of Jesus. But we are able to benefit from the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ by being baptized. And when we, as a response to faith upon our confession and upon our repentance, and when we do that, we become members of the church, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, if one can be saved out of the church, one can be saved out of the body of Christ. Why is that, you ask? Because the church is the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. I mean, is that pretty clear, what you think? You say, I'm saying, if you can't understand that, don't worry, you'll be okay. He's the head of the body, comma, what? The church. What is the body? It's the church. Is that what that says? I mean, if a person could see through a ladder, they could see that, couldn't they? The body is the church. I mean, it's just clear. It's unequivocal. And then I told you that my answer to this is going to be what the good book says. So let me give you another verse or two in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And hath put all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. And so, folks, the church is the body of Christ. Paul addressed the Colossians as in Christ and called in one body. Colossians chapter 1 and 2, they're in Christ. Colossians 3 and 15, they're called in one body. So since the church is the body of Christ, and one cannot be saved apart from Christ, watch it now, one cannot be saved out of the church, which is the body of Christ. Amen? Now that would be an appropriate amen place. Okay, it's kind of bad, Mark. It's not kind of like telling a joke when you have to say, now here is the punchline, you see. That's the reason I don't tell jokes. All right. In Ephesians 5 and 23, the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of, talk to me, the what? The body. But what do we learn the body is? The church. So if He's going to save the body, He's going to be saving what? Saving the church. Well, what about the folks that don't want to have anything to do with the church? As that old song goes, how did it, Dan, years ago, me and Jesus got a good thing going. What about the folks who are claiming that them and the Lord, they got this thing going? I was studying with someone one time, and he said, my church is in the woods when I deer hunt and turkey hunt You know, I think about God, and sometimes when I look at a flower, you know, another person told me one time, I think about God, and I said, well, you know, that's neat. We ought to be thinking about God all the time. Is that right? I see a beautiful daffodil, and I think, wow, the wonders of God's creation, or things along that line. But listen to me. Contemplating about those things and reflecting about those things is not what gets you right with God. You see, what gets you right with God is believing that God in heaven sent His Son to this earth to die for our sins, and being willing to confess that, and being willing to change our mind and our will in regard to sin, and being willing to submit to God's will and whatever thing He requests of us, which in order to become a member of this wonderful family, we must submit to what the Bible teaches us about baptism. Now, that's just the long and short of it. So if one is going to be saved, they must be members of the body. And the Bible says, as I just said about baptism, though I didn't give you the scripture, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now I want to give you my fifth and final reason, and it is this kind of reasoning. If one can be saved out of the church, then one can be saved without any spiritual blessings. Now, we just noted that the church is what? Identical to what? The body of Christ. That's what we've just been talking about, correct? So if one is going to be, contend that they can be saved out of the church, then they would have to contend that they could be saved without any spiritual blessings. And as I just noted, the church is the body of Christ. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I've not asked you to turn to any verses. Have you got your Bibles? Matter of fact, let me see those Bibles. Hold them up. Hold them up high. All right, good, good. Tracy, is that a Bible? All right. Okay. I had a person hold up a songbook one time. I'm just messing with you, honey. Any more, Mark, they hold up laptops and iPhones and iPads, and I'll take all forms of the Scripture, all right? But I like to hear those pages, Russell. It's my age, I guess, Dan. I like to hear you turning there. All right, where did I say we was going? I'm not even there myself. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Now look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that what it says? Now, if I had me a board up here, I'd like to have me a board. I should have asked David, and I actually thought about asking him, but he's just too busy. So have you got a good imagination? I can't even do a wedding without a board anymore. But the family frowns on that. I don't know what the big deal is. How come you can't have a marker board up there? But anyway, maybe that's the reason they don't ask me to do too many weddings. I said something. It was in Andy Walker's wedding, Mark. And they all got tickled, and I didn't aim for them to get tickled, but I told them, I said, let me tell you two folks something. He married a girl named Stephanie. I said, getting married's kind of like dying. You're supposed to stay that way. But I meant that, you know, seriously. Aren't we supposed to stay that way? All right. Now, let's imagine that you had a board up here. Can you do that with me? You see the board? All right, you see my marker? All right, on this board, I'm going to draw a big circle, and we're going to call that circle in Christ. All right? Now, at the top of that circle, we're going to write the two words, in Christ. Now, what is in Christ? Everybody with me now? You see my circle? David, you got my circle there? David might produce us one of these things and hand it out, or I might even have it. I can send it to him if you want a copy of it. I use it a lot in personal work. All right, here's the circle. It's in Christ. Now, what's in Christ? All right, are you ready to start putting something in our circle? First of all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ. So I want you to write that down in your mind's eye. All spiritual blessings. Now, our circle represents in Christ. So how many blessings do you think would be out of Christ? None. So on the outside of the circle, I want you to write none. Or no spiritual blessings. All right, now drop down to verse 7 in Ephesians. Are you there? in whom we have, or in Him, we have redemption. All right, now, go back to my circle. And what's the circle represent? Talk to me. In Christ. What's the first thing we put in there? All spiritual blessings. Now I'm going to list some of them for you. Okay, the first spiritual blessing is redemption. So I want you to write that in the circle. Have you got it in there? All right. Now, if redemption is in Christ and everything outside the circle is out of Christ, what do you think is out of Christ? Concerning redemption. This is not rocket science. No redemption. So write it out there. No redemption. All right, let's go back to my circle. Number three, all spiritual blessings. Number two, what? Redemption. Number three, it says we have forgiveness of sins. So write that in that circle. All right, if forgiveness of sins is in Christ, what do you think is out of Christ? No forgiveness of sins. All right, drop down to verse 11. In Him also we have an inheritance. So in Christ is an inheritance. What is outside of Christ? No inheritance. So what we got so far? All spiritual blessings in Christ. How many out of Christ? None. Redemption in Christ. How about redemption out of Christ? No redemption. Forgiveness of sins in Christ. No forgiveness out of Christ. An inheritance in Christ. No inheritance out of Christ. All right, now let's think of a few others. All of these talk about in Him, in Christ, in whom, something like that. Okay? All right, let me think of another one. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now, go back to my circle, and I want you to write something else in there. And what I want you to write now is no condemnation. So if no condemnation's in Christ, what do you think would be out of Christ? Be condemnation. All right, let me give you another one. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. All the promises of God are in Him. So go to that circle and write all God's promises. All God's promises are in Christ. So what do you think you got out of Christ? No promises. All right, here's another one. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. In Him we're all new creatures or new creations. So we're new creatures in Christ. So put that in your circle, new creatures. Out of Christ, I guess you've got to be an old creature. All right? And then 2 Timothy, 1 and 10, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation. It's actually 2:10. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ. Now, brethren, that is such a powerful line of reasoning, I think, from God's Word, because all of these verses say, in Christ, in Him, in whom? That kind of language. So if salvation's in Christ, what do you think you have out of Christ? No salvation. Does this make sense? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Now let's go over them. What do we got? We've got all spiritual blessings. I don't know if I'll do the right order on this. We put redemption in Christ. No redemption out of Christ. Forgiveness of sins in Christ. No forgiveness of sins out of Christ. An inheritance in Christ. No inheritance out of Christ. And no condemnation in Christ. Condemnation out of Christ. All the promises of God in Christ. No promises out of Christ. And we're new creations in Christ, and we're not new creations out of Christ. And there's salvation in Christ. There is not salvation out of Christ. But how do we get into Christ? Someone says, well, I want that personal relationship. Well, I'm trying to tell you how to get it. Do you want to know how you get it? Here's the way you get it. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ. Galatians 3:26. Well, preacher, that's all I want to know. I believe. I believe. Well, do you? Do you believe? What kind of faith do you have? You see, biblical faith is faith that takes God at His word. See, we get kind of mixed up on the word believe. I may say, I believe it'll rain tomorrow. In the sense of, I think it might rain, or I got a good feeling that it might rain, or my arthritis is bothering me or something, and so I kind of sense that it might rain. That's not biblical faith. See, biblical faith is taking God at His word. So that's biblical faith. See, biblical faith is God telling Abraham to get out of his land, and what did Abraham do? He got up and went. Biblical faith is God telling Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your unique son, Isaac, that boy that you love, I want you to sacrifice him. And then the Bible says he did what? He went to the mountain with him. Am I right about that? You see, David would have a problem with that. I'd say, wait a minute, Lord. I thought we had a conversation early on that you was going to bless all the nations of the earth through my seed. How in the round world are you going to bless all the nations of the earth if you kill the seed? You can't do that. But Hebrews tells us that Abraham had such faith in God that he believed that God would raise him from the dead if he had to keep his promise. So what I'm saying is faith submits itself to God and to His Word. Now let's go back. Galatians 3:26. We're all the children of God by faith. It begins with the grace that God reveals to us, His love and His mercy. As far as God's part is concerned, on our part, it begins with faith. And guess what else? It ends with faith. As Romans 1 says, Dan, from faith to faith. So we're children of God by faith. Now, are you willing to humbly submit yourself to the Word and take God at His Word by faith? Well, verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So let's go back to my circle. You thought I forgot about my circle, didn't you? All right. In my circle, I got all spiritual blessings, right? And I want to benefit from those blessings. How am I going to do that? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. I want you to put a big arrow going in that circle in your mind's eye. And I want that to represent, faith demonstrating itself by our willingness to confess our Lord Jesus Christ, our willingness to humbly submit ourselves to God, to repent of our sins, to be baptized. Brethren, let me say something to you and friends. Are you listening to me? This is not the time to try to analyze this to death. Now, let me tell you something. I am the expert at analyzing things. I would have been struck dead a long time ago if God had appeared to me and said, now, David, what I want you to do is just get up and leave your country. And I'm saying, hang on a minute. What are you talking about? Zap, you see. I want you to sacrifice that boy. Now, why do we need to do... Zap, you see. So, folks, let me ask you something. I'm begging with you today. Are you listening to me? I'm begging you, don't analyze this. I'm not saying don't try to have a good understanding of what God's Word is saying. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying don't get into analysis paralysis. Sometimes people do that. I want you to quit analyzing it, and I want you just to accept what God's Word says. It's as if, take Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Instead of it saying that, imagine if it said, he who believes and jumps through this wall over here will be saved. What I'm asking you to do today is this. Believe, and if the scripture had said jump through the wall, I'm saying jump and believe there will be a hole there by the time you get there. You see what is that faith? You see, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Someone says, well, I don't know about eating the Lord's Supper and all of that. Let me say, ask you this. Does the Bible teach that we're supposed to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Does the Bible teach that it's unleavened bread and fruit of the vine? Is that what the Bible says? Quit analyzing it to death and humbly submit to it. Just do it. And so if you're outside of the church today, quit analyzing it and humbly submit to this plain, clear, unequivocal teaching in Holy Scripture. Just submit to it. That's what God wants after all. He wants people to believe Him. He wants people to submit to His will. The power is in God. God adds us to the church when we respond to His gospel. Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. And so that's the challenge for you today. Now, I hope you're not going to sit there today and say, well, that's just another message. You know, we've heard X number of messages this weekend and blah, 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 and so forth. I hope you won't do that. I hope today that you will examine yourself to determine whether you're in the faith. I'm sure that there are people in this audience today that Brother Dan and David and these elders and others of you have worked their livers out trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus. And you've not responded to that. And you keep bringing up these various excuses, and I don't understand this and don't understand that. If you don't understand what you're supposed to do to obey the gospel, then we don't want you responding. Am I right, Brother Dan? But I suspect that there are a lot of people who understand, and yet they never have completed their obedience. And so what we want you to do today is come forward. We want you to just be brave. This is a family of God. Folks here love the Lord. And we won't, you know, just stand up here with our arms folded and make you walk all the way down here all by yourself. You come, I'm going to get out there. I'm gonna meet you. Dan's going to help us. David's going to help us. Whoever is here, if they can help you, we're going to help you. We're going to wrap our arms around you. We're going to love you. We're going to care for you. We're going to do what we can to help you complete your obedience to Christ. Will you come as we stand and sing?